One of the proudest, happiest, and saddest days in every parent's life is when your children learn the phrase, I can do it myself. Because that means that they are taking upon themselves responsibility, agency, they're seeing themselves as capable, and it also means you're about to clean up a really big mess. Because as soon as that toddler says, I can do it myself, and picks up that gallon of milk to pour a glass for themselves, you know a portion of that gallon will wind up on your table, if not the entire cup. Because you know, part of becoming self-sufficient and capable is also in overcoming those things that you don't know. Because as a person growing, it takes a moment to learn how to properly balance a great big gallon of milk when you're pouring a glass. It takes a moment to learn how to do all those little tasks that our children want to do for themselves. I can do it myself, from tying their shoes to doing the homework, learning to drive a car, going out into the world on their own. Those little moments of independence always come with that mixed blessing of joy as a parent, pride in seeing them succeed, fear that, of course, you know that there will be inevitable failures, because after all, isn't that part of life? We fall forward, don't we? We rarely succeed at everything we try the first time we try it. More often than not, we have to fail once or twice before we get our feet under us. But as parents, there's also part in the back of our minds that we have to fight against, isn't there? When our children says, I can do it myself, there's a part in the back of our minds that says, oh, just let me do this for you, please. Let me tie your shoes. I've got it. I don't want to have to stop and tie them again 27 times today. And if I do it first, it'll be done right. Oh, let me pour that gallon of milk into that cup. Otherwise, I'm going to have to change out the tablecloth. There's a part of us in parents that wants to reach in and say, no, 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 I've got this. Let me do it. And it's not just that we don't want to clean up that tablecloth mess. It's also that there's a part of us that always wants to care for our children, always wants to take care of them, always wants to look out for them. It's almost impossible to let go of that sense of responsibility you have for this other human being. Because, of course, every parent has that moment when you're leaving the hospital for the very first time with that child that has just been born, and there's this sense of amazement that they're letting you walk out of the building with this child, and no instructions are given whatsoever. It's just here, it's yours now. I gotta tell y'all, they at least have instruction manuals when you buy something in the store. If you get a new toaster, it's got an instruction manual, and it doesn't require a whole lot of brains to make toast. But when they send the children home with you, they just send the kids home. And they're helpless. And they rely on you for everything. Everything. They rely on you for food. They rely on you for sleep. They rely on you for love. They rely on you for comfort. And there is nothing that a baby can do for themselves. And as a parent, we do for them. And we love it. And we love them. And like I said, it's a bittersweet moment when those children learn that phrase, I can do it myself. But of course, the simple fact of the matter is, there are a lot of things in the life that we take upon ourselves that we can't do, that we will fail at, that no matter how hard we try, if we try to do it ourselves, we will fall on our faces, because it's not something that anyone can handle alone. And it's unrealistic for us to anticipate that we will have the power within ourselves to face every problem, to overcome every obstacle, that as an individual, we say to ourselves, I should be able to do this, whether it's something personal, psychological, physical, medical. We human beings always have this sense that in some way, shape, or form, I should be able to do it myself. And that phrase is a dangerous phrase. I should be able to do it myself. Should you? I mean, is that realistic? Is it realistic to not ask for help? When Jesus is speaking to this crowd, I mentioned that this is his ministry bifurcated. He begins in the Galilean region where he grew up. And he is very popular. This is what I think we would perhaps label a successful ministry. He has crowds, not just of dozens or hundreds, but thousands following him around, hanging on his every word, listening to everything he has to say. By all intents and purposes, if you were to define his success by that metric, he started well and ended poorly, because by the time he dies on the cross, there is but a handful of those followers left. The dozen who become apostles, and perhaps another dozen or so that follow along as his followers. His ministry begins with great success, and he says things to people that they want to hear, that they need to hear. And he does things for people that they need done for them. Everything from feeding thousands of people with just scraps of food to giving them wisdom. He is in this phase where everyone is excited to hear what he has to say. But in many ways, the Beatitudes signify a shift in his ministry. Because up to this point, he's been telling people things about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. He's been feeding them, caring for them, healing them. He's provided them, as a parent does, with every good thing. But then he begins to say things like, blessed are you when you are poor. Blessed are you when you're reviled for my name's sake. Blessed are you when you are weak. Blessed are you who are humble and meek. And this is not as much what the crowd wants to hear. It's not what we want to hear. We want to hear that blessed are we when God makes us healthy and wealthy and capable and overcoming. We don't want to hear blessed are you when you struggle. Blessed are you when instead of saying, I can do it myself, we have to take that moment to admit, I can't do this on my own. And the reason, of course, that we are most blessed when we are able to admit to ourselves and others, I can't do this on my own, is because in that moment we recognize our need, our deep, deep need for God's love, our deep need for God's grace, our deep need for God's mercy, our deep need for God's strength and guidance. In the moment that we as human beings recognize ourselves as being not able to do it ourselves, this is the moment when we recognize that in God and through God, by God, we are able to accomplish and do anything. That we are able to overcome anything, not because we are powerful and strong, not because we are able to do it ourselves, but because God gives us strength. God gives us comfort. God gives us wisdom, all of which that exceed, overcome, and are far greater than our own. Self-sufficiency is something we as human beings strive for. Because, perhaps from the moment we're old enough to put words together, we want to believe I can do it myself. There's a phrase that I don't know how became a popular phrase. It's not biblical. It's not religious, unless maybe you're looking at Greek mythology. And that's the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. The Beatitudes basically says the exact opposite. The Beatitude says God helps those who can't help themselves. Because for those who finally realize that holding on to life with two hands isn't getting us any further. In that moment, we know to let go and to hold on to God with both hands. And in that moment, God lifts us up, gives us strength, courage, and hope. So I say to you all this Sunday, be blessed. Be truly blessed. Be blessed as Christ blessed the people on the Mount as he was giving his Galilean sermons. Blessed as those who recognize within ourselves that we're not the masters of our own destinies. We're not the determinants of our own fate. We're not, as we thought we were when we were 3 years old, capable of doing everything ourselves. Instead, we are those who need to rely on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the hope that comes from knowing that blessed are the hungry, because the hand of God will feed them. Blessed are those who mourn, because the hand of God will comfort them. Blessed are those who are persecuted for Christ's name's sake, because we are rewarded by the hand of God. Blessed are we when we recognize that God's blessings far outweigh our virtues. Amen.